This is it. You guys ready to roll?
So, this is a morning show, but we're talking about things that have to do with the nightlife? You're one of those guys that leaves at halftime, aren't you?
You cheer for the band, which is unbelievable.
That's because I love culture. I'm a culture guy, and there's no more cultural part of the football game than when the band is playing.
It's a marching band, okay?
And I will march to the beat of whatever beat they're playing.
What are we talking about here? We're talking culture.
Of course we're talking culture, but it's not just culture. It's deeper than that. But it's also not politics. So what is it? But I'm telling you, hot toddies are the way to go if you're feeling ill. This show is live. It's unscripted. Sometimes we have to hit the red button and dump the last 30 seconds. To happen on this show.
You know, that's the drawback. Sometimes you say things that don't make sense.
We've all heard of late night radio, late night television. We're innovating in a new space, late morning radio.
It's uplifting, it's insightful. We don't take ourselves too seriously.
Now, coming to you live, this is Talking Culture. Here are your hosts, Kevin Sommets and Sam Burns.
Welcome to Talking Culture on a Christmas Eve morning. We are coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, Kevin Sommets, Sam Burns, Zach McClain in all show today. Stream the show online at KVOI.com. Previous shows are on iTunes. To find them, search Talking Culture on iTunes and subscribe. Finally, our social media mentioned Facebook. There is an interesting link up there. Well, there's a couple different things going on. One, I will give a shout out to A Christmas Carol. It's this funny, innovative show that's on tonight and tomorrow only. There's a link to go buy tickets, go support the good folks at the Roadrunner Theater. So I'm excited to get out there myself. Anything else going on Facebook, Sam?
You know who Steve Kerr is, right?
Oh, love Steve Kerr.
There was an amazing article published by the New York Times about his life story yesterday. That's not there yet, but it will be on the Facebook page by the end of the day, so I highly recommend getting on there to check it out. The titling of the article is, Tragedy Made Steve Kerr See the World Beyond the Court.
Well, and that's talking about the assassination of his dad.
Yeah,
right?
Which a lot of the emotions that go behind that, how it influences who he is today, that's all on the Facebook page, courtesy of the New York Times.
I think it was close in the time that Michael Jordan, his teammate from the Bulls, had his own father assassinated, and it was this really interesting thing, but... Yeah, Steve Kerr, Wildcat legend, arguably probably the best shooter we've ever had here come through Tucson. So anyway, that'll be on Facebook. I have to start with this. How did you guys sleep last night?
Well, I slept great. And speaking of sleep,
yeah.
I've been sleeping great.
Uh-huh.
But I've been getting like 30 to 45 minutes less per night on average. Falling asleep until... like 10:30 p.m. Like I'll watch like TV. I'm watching this new show on Netflix called Wild China. It's about like a National Geographic documentary on China. It's 6 episodes. It's amazing. But it's keeping me up late. And it doesn't seem like a lot. Like 30 minutes, yeah, what's the big deal?
Right.
30 minutes, an hour. Let's say I miss an hour of sleep each night on average. I go from 8 to 7. No big deal, right? Over the course of 7 days, that's 7 hours.
Right.
Which is an entire night's sleep.
Well, we were talking last week, that's Zach McClain's here in studio, about how 7 is actually probably preferable to 8, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think I feel better waking up after 7 than after 8. I mean, it feels good to sleep in, get a little more, but I feel more invigorated about the day after 7.
You got to get up and you got to go attack something. If you got 8 hours of sleep, you went to bed at 10, got up at 6, and you're all slept out on like a Tuesday morning, you know, then there's nothing to battle against, you know? There's no need for the coffee. There's no need for the contemplation and all the prayer that goes into, you know, should I do this all over
the day.
Again? Yeah. So we are talking culture here on a Friday morning, Friday before Christmas. A little bit about the show today. Sam, why don't you tell the good folks, if they haven't heard already, we've got a special guest in later today.
Yeah, we've got a great show lined up for folks today. The mayor is here. Jonathan Rothschild is in studio starting next segment. We'll be getting into culture, some things that are coming to Tucson, some things that are going on in Tucson, his view of culture in Tucson. Earlier this week, you might have seen it in the news, the city council voted to reaffirm that Tucson is an immigrant-friendly city, and there was a lot of stuff in the media about that. We'll get into that with him. What does he mean by an immigrant-friendly city? We'll talk about that this morning as well.
Also, lots of interesting cultural things. A new bowling alley may be coming to Tucson. Some new updates at the airport. I know we had the folks on from the airport, but obviously Mayor Rothschild has been instrumental in all those different routes. But hey, guys, what gives? Today's my half birthday. I haven't heard a word from either of you.
Jeez.
Half happy birthday.
Yeah.
To
did you guys get gifts?
I'm half happy for you.
Growing up for your half birthday?
No.
Zach?
No, definitely not.
That was the sign of a spoiled kid, I think, when he was getting doted on at the half birthday mark.
And, did you?
No. I'll just say no. I don't think so. But, you know, the kids that did, they'd have, like, half-birthday parties, and you'd have to come and give them a half.
The only time the half-birthday makes sense in my mind is if you live in Fargo or somewhere in the tundra, and your real birthday is, like, January 4th, and you can never have a fun party because it's, you know, negative 20 degrees outside. So you have a half-birthday in the summer and throw a pool party. That's the only time I think it really makes sense. Or the inverse, like you live in Tucson. Well, you can still have Tucson pool parties in the summer. It's just scorchingly hot.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, that's good stuff. My half wedding anniversary is Christmas Day.
Oh.
Or my half Christmas is my wedding anniversary.
Wow. Did you plan that?
So you say on June 25th, you say, hey, babe, I would say happy anniversary, but really happy half Christmas. And 6 months from now, we'll be able to celebrate Christmas.
I think she's listening right now.
Okay. Well, if you're listening, hi, Cammy. So yeah, we put also on the Facebook page, we mentioned it yesterday, Winter Haven, the 67th Annual Festival of Lights. Found a sponsor. TEP is going to be there for 5 years. They're locked in. You can learn more about that. So the Winter Haven is on today, tomorrow, and Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. And then I believe Monday is the last day, and it's a drive-only day, which Robin Dalzell, who's the chair of the board, said, you know, you could go, but it's bumper-to-bumper, the drive-through day, so he recommends walking. And so you still have a couple days to get out there, 6 to 10 p.m. I made the mistake last night of driving by it. I didn't even think and, you know, got caught up in all the Winter Haven traffic. So what else is going on? What are some exciting maybe sporting events that are coming to Tucson that folks probably know about, but let's give them a reminder of?
Oh, the Arizona Bowl?
The Arizona Bowl.
Is that what you're prompting here? The Arizona Bowl is coming to Arizona once again. We've got Air Force taking on Alabama. Southern Alabama, that
nope,
is.
I think it's
Central
Alabama.
Central Alabama?
Southern Alabama.
Southern Alabama.
Or, yeah.
One of the Alabamas is coming to town. Go to the game to find out. But we are expecting, it's kind of cool, we got Air Force coming to an Air Force town.
Yeah, it's great.
And so they're expecting commanders from all four Arizona military bases to be in attendance. Guess what else is coming to Arizona Stadium for this game and this game only?
Santa Claus?
Beer.
Oh, interesting.
They're going to sell beer at Arizona Stadium during the bowl game.
That's right,
what I read.
Because they can't legally do it during the season because it's on campus, but maybe they're getting an exemption because it's the winter holiday or whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I want to dispel this myth. I'm sorry if this is still trying to be kept a secret.
Myth
in
busters.
The box seats?
Yeah.
I know it's a dry campus, but what is booze doing up in the box seats?
You can drink in the box seats, right?
Yeah, you can.
There's an exemption that we're not, you know, maybe we could ask the mayor about that.
I thought it was the biggest conspiracy in Arizona history for a while until I found out everyone knew about it already. Another thing that's coming courtesy of the Arizona Bowl, a Ferris wheel is going to be put up in downtown for the block party, which the block party is next week on the 29th, runs from 3 to 8 p.m.
The block party for the Arizona Bowl?
Yeah, the Arizona Bowl is the following day, but there's a big block party downtown. I went last year. It's actually a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend doing it. There's a food truck roundup will be down there and a Ferris wheel. So if you ever wanted to get it'll be interesting where they actually place the Ferris wheel because usually you get a nice view of things from a Ferris wheel, but if it's in the middle of a bunch of buildings, you just like see all inside of an office next to the Ferris wheel or something.
It's probably where they set up that little like beach volleyball area.
I think that's where it's going to be.
Just one
right
block
by Hotel
north.
Congress.
Yeah.
Well, let's transition seamlessly from Arizona Bowl into Uber Talk. You guys use Uber, right? Uber, Lyft, the rideshare services.
About this news.
Do you hear? Well, so the news is that Uber is moving its testing of self-driving cars from California to Arizona after being denied registration. I think there's some. I'll just quote Doug Ducey, Governor Doug Ducey. He says, quote, while California puts the brakes on innovation and change with more bureaucracy and more regulation, Arizona is paving the way for new technology and new businesses with an emphasis on innovation, economic growth, and most importantly, public safety. So General Motors and Google's Waymo are already self-testing cars in Arizona. Arizona is like this hotbed of car innovation, the plant coming to Casa Grande. You're going to have now three self-driving cars being tested. How do you guys feel about self-driving cars in general? I'll ask you, Zach.
I think it's a good concept. I think that it's still a couple years off from really being common, but I think it's going to be an improvement over a lot of Tucson drivers.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Is that Samuel?
I'm all for it. I would love to have a self-driving car. Could you imagine the amount of additional work? Think about how much time you spend driving on a weekly basis. Let's say on a daily basis you spend an hour in your car.
Yep,
on a weekly basis, that's 7 hours. That's an entire work day.
You've multiplied something by seven twice on the show effectively today. Good for you.
Do it one more time, and that's, what do they call that? Like a,
that's a triple seven, and then you win the lottery, I think. Well, okay, so I used to work for Uber, and people always would tell me, hey, by the way, Uber's evil because they're setting aside all their profits for research and development on
a
self-driving car.
Too.
Well, I might have been a mouthpiece for this. I don't recall. But the point is, Uber was looking to put all us drivers out of work. The big, bad Uber empire was going to put us all us poor drivers out of work by doing this great thing and giving us self-driving cars. And I always thought, I don't remember actually taking that side. I thought, okay, that's great. You know, that was my opinion. They're doing things that are going to improve. Like if you look at 10, 20 years down the line, taking most of the cars off the road and, you know, still uncertain how safe these self-driving cars are going
to
be.
I mean, to be fair, there was the conspiracy that the app was demon-possessed.
I actually believe in that. You know, that there were some weird things. You turn that Uber app on and you've seen the hypnotizing. Anyway, it'd be good to get the mayor's perspective on that too. But let's take a quick commercial break and let's get into it with the mayor. He's kind enough to be in with us. Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is going to be in to talk culture and a whole host of other things.
One thing we're going to get into when we get back, the Mayor Rothschild's first foray into politics was the mayorship, the current position he currently holds.
Right.
Donald Trump's first foray into politics is the position he currently holds.
From private sector to
Mayor
elected
Rothschild
official.
Said he might have some advice for him.
So. Although how elected is Mayor Rothschild in his last term?
He's still elected. They're just unopposed.
Sure. Okay, let's take that break, and we'll be back.
Christmas music.
Talking culture.
Merry Christmas from all of us at 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Hi, this is Josh from Giuseppe's Ristorante Italiano. During this holiday season, we want to invite you to join us for lunch or dinner. Enjoy our daily specialties and relax at our happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. Enjoy your night with our Lamb Osobuco with a fine glass of Chianti or from our list of fine wines. We are located at 6060 North Oracle Road in the Casablanca Plaza. Call us at 505-4187 to make your reservations and be a part of our Giuseppe's family.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before? And claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Aho Bikes announces its Cat Trike promotion. Come into Aho Bikes at 1301 East Aho and order a Cat Trike recumbent bike in ice blue, alpine white, or fire red and receive $200 off the price at Aho Bikes, your recumbent, mountain, road, electric, and BMX bike headquarters for parts, accessories, service, or gifts. Aho Bikes, 1301 East Aho, 294-1434.
If Christmas makes you say, bah humbug, then you need to see Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, as told by the amazing company Standing O Entertainment has put together for this holiday season. Hilarious dialogue, witty songs, belted out by Tucson's most talented entertainers. Fun for the whole family, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays at 7 o'clock, Sundays at 3, December 1st through the 24th at Roadrunner Theater on Tankerville Road near Bear Canyon. Get your tickets now. Call 207-2491 or go to brownpapertickets.com. And God bless us, everyone!
How would you like $20,000 towards a down payment? This is Reed Griffin, owner and broker of Pueblo Equity Realty. I'm with Yvette Villamana of Sun Street Mortgage to talk about the Pathway to Purchase program.
Thank you, Reed. Pathway to Purchase is a wonderful program for those individuals who need down payment assistance to purchase a home in Tucson. The borrower is given 10% of the sales price with a maximum of $20,000, which can be used for the required 5% down payment and closing costs. There are certain restrictions, but I'm happy to talk to anyone wanting more information. This truly is a once-in-a-lifetime gift for those desiring to purchase a home in Tucson.
Thank you, Yvette. I know this sounds almost too good to be true, but with your assistance, I've helped my customers buy homes with the Pathway to Purchase program. To learn more, give me a call today, Reed Griffin with Pueblo Equity Realty at 571-1166.
Not commitment to lend, NMLS 178264, AZBK 090-7366, BRNMLS 127-1131, and equal housing lender.
Michael Medved.
Who started the war on Christmas? Was it contemporary liberals? No, actually, it was the Puritans who first settled in New England. The secret history of the Christmas holiday. And America has invented many, many wonderful things that have benefited all of humanity, including a lot of the ways that Christmas is now celebrated around the world. The secret history of the Christmas holiday, Friday on the Medved Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 to 4. It's Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice.
Sleigh bells ring, ah yes, in the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
And we're talking in a culture wonderland this morning on AM 1030 KVY The Voice, a little Aretha Franklin, courtesy of Ed Alexander, requested from the mayor himself, Jonathan Rothschild. We had some more dreary Christmas music, and he went in and said, hey, let's get some Aretha on the microphone. And so we're appreciative of the collaboration this morning. But we are pleased. Thanks for being with us, Mayor. And how are you this morning?
I'm great. I'm glad to be with the three of you, too. I like seeing some young, fresh voices on our airwaves.
Well, we're excited to be here, too. So tell us, what went into you wanting to go from private practice into being a mayor?
It's a long story. I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'll try to shorten it. We're talking probably 2000. I became mayor in 2011, but I started thinking about it obviously some years earlier. And I was seeing, at least by reported news, a city that I thought could do a lot better. And I thought that I could bring my skill set, which was 30 years in private practice of practicing law, to that skill set, and also perhaps bring a mindset that said, look, this shouldn't be about politics. It should be about where there are problems, finding solutions. And that motivated me, and that was enough motivation to get me to run. And I worked for a few years getting to know the political system, getting to know the people that are involved, and gaining their confidence. And sure enough, in 2011, I was elected.
We're talking culture here on AM 1030 KVOY, and as most of our listeners by this point probably know, our focus is on the positive, what's going well in Tucson, highlighting the good things that are happening in Tucson, and talking about Tucson's culture as a whole. And as most people, I think, realize, and I was talking to someone earlier this week about this, about our show, and he said, well, Sam, define culture for me. And then he said, define Tucson's culture. And I was like, oh, geez, what, I don't even know exactly how to define it. And when you really think about it, Tucson has multiple cultures kind of melding together. You've got the East Side culture. You've got the Foothills crowd. You've got South Side. You've got downtown university setting. There's a bunch of different subcultures. And I'm curious, as a mayor, when you're leading and when you're developing initiatives for a city, how do you balance all these different subcultures in hoping to push and advance a more citywide culture? And do you feel like you understand all the different cultures that are going on in Tucson?
Well, after 5 years, I understand much better. but you're right. And I believe one of the great strengths of our community is that we have so much diversity in our culture, whether it's indigenous, Hispanic, African-American, the various religions of all natures and types. Have a large LGBT community here. And then we have our what you would call your traditional community. And bringing all that together is not always easy. But what I have found is that when we can bring people together, and there's so much we can bring people together around, that just makes us a stronger community. And so it's important that people, particularly now, are tolerant of each other and accept each other's differences, because you don't have to scratch very deep to find out that we all have a lot in common.
Talking to Mayor Jonathan Rothschild here on Talking Culture. So you talked about setting out and not having necessarily a political agenda, but wanting to get things done. Could you outline maybe some of the changes that you said, okay, 5 years ago, here's where I'd like to go, and how have you seen growth in those areas 5 years later?
Well, there were a couple areas. The first was, and it was partly nationwide at that time too, but Tucson had always been a place where the ups and downs of the economies, we didn't feel very much. We were very much protected from it. When 2007, 2008 came, we got hit very hard by the big recession. And so the first thing we had to do was to reinstill a sense of the importance of bringing business to the community. That's something that doesn't happen overnight. But I can say, and I'm happy to say, that after 5 years, we're now seeing really good results. Bloomberg, I think last month, named Tucson as the third fastest growing job city in the United States. Mm. That, you know, we can go through it. Caterpillar, which is at least 600. I'm thinking it'll be up to 800 or 900 jobs, averaging $100,000 a piece. Comcast, which brought in over 1,100 employees, averaging about $50,000 a piece, and putting $10 million into a building capital improvement. Home Goods put its largest distribution center in the United States here in southeastern Tucson. And, of course, the Raytheon transaction, where for the first time in many years, Raytheon's looking to expand their operation here by as much as 20%. That was really job number one, because you got to have the jobs. You got to have the jobs to keep the young people here. You got to have the jobs to create the economy to do some of the other things that we want to do that bring a good quality of life. And so that was job number one. Some of that had to be done internally within the internal city of Tucson government. So we've worked very hard to improve and make more efficient our planning and development services department, and make more efficient and more responsive simply the way we respond to constituents. I believe every constituent deserves a response, unless they're way, way off. And what I found is sometimes we have to say we can't do this and this is why, but they appreciate that. And then more often than not, I find that if we look at it a little harder, we actually can do it. And so I think that's helped a lot.
Yeah. I don't know if you realize, but you were in the news this week. Yep. As I'm sure is a regular occurrence. Something that is interesting about a city's culture is that it morphs and changes as people from external cultures move in and impact the local culture.
Right.
There's always some combination of them assimilating to the local culture while also influencing it with their own, creating this sort of constant culture hybridization.
Right.
And that has certainly happened in Tucson, I think.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday, I think it was, the Tucson City Council, as well as yourself, reaffirmed that Tucson is an immigrant-friendly city.
Yes.
And there was some stuff in the media about how there was a clear delineation between a sanctuary city and an immigrant-friendly city. So what exactly does it mean to be an immigrant-friendly city?
Yeah, and I want to be clear about that, because obviously certain people have taken that and run a different way. And if you go on my website, MayorRothschild.com, I have my remarks up, and it was very clear. And I'm sure I will upset people from all walks of life when I say that the word sanctuary city, which is being thrown around, is a word really without meaning. It's being used by a lot of big city mayors as a badge of honor. It's being used by others to demonize those who would say such a thing. The fact of the matter is, we're a city of laws. Every city is a city of laws. We have a city of laws that have been tested all the way to the United States Supreme Court, courtesy of SB 1070, found to be constitutional. And what we're really trying to do is we're trying to let those who are here legally but who are not citizens get those resources so they can get to citizenship. We know that by getting to citizenship, your chances for homeownership increase, your job opportunities increase, and the income of the community goes up as a whole. That's a good thing. We have 33,000 citizens in Pima County who are eligible for citizenship who have not gotten to citizenship. So, and by the way, we were working with such radical partners as Citibank, Pima County Library, Pima Community College. All of these folks see the use of this. But I will tell you that, like many cities, and we don't know what's going to happen. We've seen such mixed signals from Washington. But, mass deportation, I'm not talking about individual deportations, mass deportation is something I don't believe our citizens would want to participate in. Creating registries based on ethnicity.
Or religion.
Of any religion. These are things that I don't believe the vast majority of our citizens would want to participate in. And it was simply a statement, not a force of law, that joining, and I think I said at the press conference, I wish I could say we were on the cutting edge. I think we were the 38th city to make a statement like this. That these are things that we're against. And I will tell you, hopefully it will have an effect in Washington. I know Mayor Emanuel has been to talk to the president-elect about the DACA students, and the president-elect said he would work something out. And that's politics, a lot of rhetoric, and then you have to see where it ends up. But certainly as a city that is, quite frankly, 43% Hispanic, the county as a whole, 34% Hispanic, as a city whose economic development is so reliant on that Mexican economy. I mean, I will tell you, Caterpillar is here because of our closeness to Mexico. Home Goods is here because of our closeness to Mexico. Comcast is here as an international service center.
Right.
We can't give up on this mega region.
Right.
We can renegotiate trade agreements, and that may be fair, but let's not slam the door on our best trading partner.
Right. And, even more broadly speaking than just immigrants, we are also a refugee-friendly community, and there is a large number of refugees here in Tucson. I think that here on Talking Culture, we would all agree that while it is definitely important to have appropriate screening and security measures in place in order to ensure that the wrong people aren't getting through,
right,
into our country, we do have somewhat of a human obligation to show a level of hospitality to those who are experiencing some truly horrible things around the country.
Well, and the great thing about Tucson.
Around the world, I should say.
Yeah, no, the great thing about Tucson, and this started back in the 1970s when the Russians, really came down on the Jewish population, and Tucson as a community stepped up and said we would take these refugees. Remember, these are refugees. These are people who the State Department have screened extensively as our allies. These are the people who are fighting in other countries for American values, mm-hmm. and we're not able to stay, and we bring them here, and Tucson has been a good source for the State Department. And if you go back and look over the years, you will see that they have charts. We have, Catholic Community Services, Lutheran Community Services, which is now called Focus, the International Rescue Committee. They're all here.
Right.
And they do great work bringing the kind of people to this country, which is what this country was based on, people that want to come here, who want to adopt American values, who want to work hard, and we want to encourage those people.
And I'll just say we got to run to a break. If you need a dose of empathy for people in this situation, we might prescribe a ticket to Arizona Theater Company's new production of Fiddler on the Roof. Have you seen this new production?
I've not seen the new production. I'm going next week. I've seen it many times in one shape or the other. And by the way, I hear this production's wonderful, so I agree. I encourage everyone to go.
Yeah, and you can catch the podcast yesterday. We actually had two members of the cast on the show with us. That podcast is now available on iTunes. It was a great interview. We got to go to a break. You're listening to Talking Culture here on a Christmas Eve Friday. We will be right back with Mayor Rothschild, and we'll ask him he made a transition from the private sector into politics, similar to our current president, and see if there, if he has any advice for Mr. Trump, or President-elect Trump.
Well, I hope he's listening.
That comes up next. We'll be right back.
Merry Christmas, baby. Should it treat me nice? Merry Christmas, baby. Should it treat me nice? You bought me a diamond ring for Christmas. I feel like I'm in paradise.
For Tucson is uniting and mobilizing Christians to bless and strengthen our city. I'm Dave Drum, and I lead the church domain of For Tucson.
And I'm Bernadette Gruber. I lead the education domain of For Tucson. Over 150 public schools in our city now have churches that have said, what are your needs and how can we help?
Five churches are working together to tutor refugee students and held a graduation party for several of them last spring.
School campuses have been transformed and teachers' lounges have been remodeled.
Many churches provide meals for teachers and staff as a way of saying thanks for their service.
Many schools are finding more opportunities to involve churches in ways that bless everyone.
Ripples from this service are impacting other arenas too, like foster care. Contact us at For Tucson to see how you too can be part of the solution. Go to fortucson.com and look for either Dave
or Bernadette.
That's the number 4tucson.com.
A virus has struck yet again. Your beloved computer has turned on you, betrayed you, and you're ready to toss it out the window? Hey, we've all hit that point, but do not fret, for it is not the point of no return. The solution to your problem is just a phone call away every Saturday.
Young people everywhere are making a difference.
Special Olympics has changed my life so dramatically.
It's helped me a lot to be fearless, you know, in the real world.
My friends I've made through Special Olympics are the best people I've ever met in my life.
I truly realize that what I'm doing is for a great cause.
And it's not about disabilities, but it's about celebrating their abilities.
I've made a difference. Now it's your turn to make a difference.
Get involved at SpecialOlympics.org.
This is Larry Elder. Every day, in every way, we make the argument that the individual needs to be empowered. We got to get the government off the backs of job creators. As my dad used to say, I never got a job from a poor person. Let's stop making people who want to make a buck a villain. Let's start celebrating people that take risks. After all, this country was built on people who take risks. On the next Larry Elder Show.
Weekdays 5 to 8, a great way to finish up your day. It's news and intelligent talk.
Good morning, Tucson. At 9:37, I'm Ed Alexander, and you're on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, Tucson traffic. A couple of things to watch out for. We have a motorcyclist struck at Swan, north of Grant. An accident at Oracle and Wetmore, and just up the road at Oracle and Rudisill. And snow on the forecast for the mountains in southern Arizona this weekend. Snow expected down to 4,000 feet beginning Christmas Eve. 6 to 9 inches forecast for higher elevations. In the valley, look for rain down here with winds tomorrow, clearing on Sunday morning. So a high today 65, low tonight 45, windy and 65 tomorrow. Low Christmas morning 37, high 52, and down to maybe 33 on Monday morning. Right now, about 51 degrees in the city, 33 up at Flagstaff. What's happening down, looking for our friends down in, Douglas, 46. Nogales, about 43 degrees right now. At AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
He's making a list, he's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's low and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, little boss for your Friday before Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Season's greetings from all of us. Happy Hanukkah to you, Mayor Jonathan Rothschild.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I don't know. Who would you want singing Santa Claus Coming to Town more than Bruce Springsteen? I don't get that.
Maybe Shaquille O'Neal. We are talking culture here on a Friday morning. I wanted to kick it over to Zach. I noticed in the Q3 report, which you guys do this quarterly, these are great reports from the mayor's office. One of the places that was highlighted was the Pathways to Purchase program. And Zach, I think, closed down a house or is closing this week, next week.
Yeah, we signed everything 2 days ago, and now it's in the hands of the Pathway to Purchase folks, and right. just hoping for a positive answer there.
All right, well, congratulations. It is a great program. It was brought to us from the federal government, through the state government, the Arizona Department of Housing, focused on Tucson, and it brought us $48 million, which is a great opportunity that should get 4,000 new home buyers homes, and we really do need to focus on that in Tucson. One of the things that makes a community strong is home ownership. You know, neighborhoods that are full of rentals tend not to keep themselves in the way that home neighborhoods where there's a lot of home buyers. And it's a great program, as you know, up to $20,000 of a down payment, up to, I think, a $300,000 home. But you don't just get it. You know, you had to go through strict credit counseling, strict qualification. We're not looking to have a bubble again, but what we are looking to is have people who have not had the opportunity for, and a lot of young people get this opportunity for home ownership.
Right, and it's really not a handout in any way. You have to occupy, well, you have to own the home for 5 years. You have to be serious about wanting to own this home.
Yeah. And Zach, both you and your wife had to donate their left kidney, right?
Well, I don't know if we're allowed to say.
I hope not. Let me know if that's the case. I'll change that.
No.
Well, Sam, you had a question. You've been teasing it all show about this, the comparisons to our president-elect and Mayor Rothschild in terms of their background in the private sector and the transition. And so, President Trump, if you're listening, you know, listen up. We've got some great insight here for you.
So Donald Trump obviously came out of the private sector, his first foray into a political office. I wouldn't say his first foray into politics, but his first foray into a political office is this current job. And Mayor Rothschild, I know that a couple years ago when you became mayor, you were moving from private sector into the public sector. And I'm wondering if you have any advice for Donald Trump about that transition and what the difference between politics and the private sector.
Well, I would first have to point out that I have a feeling my experience in the private sector was a little bit different than his. But I will tell you some of the things that came as a surprise to me and that I had to learn. And I talk to private sector people about this all the time. You know, and here's the simplest example I can give you. When I was in the private sector, I had a law practice, had 50 employees. If I wanted to buy a computer, I looked in my bank account, and if I had the money, I went and got it. And if I didn't have the money, I went and got a loan for 20 computers. Okay. The public sector doesn't work that way, and it doesn't work that way for a good reason. There's a process you have to go through to have transparency, to have fairness, to avoid corruption and fraud. And so this is not a question of one person being able to say, oh, this is what we're going to do now. And that will be learned. And by the way, Congress, who are full of a lot of experience, elected officials, public servants, and have been doing this for years, if it's not learned, it will be taught. And so there really is a big difference between the way the private sector and the public sector are required to operate. There are good reasons for that, and I would hope the president would pay attention to that. I would also hope the president would pay attention to all voices. That is something that I certainly came in wanting to do, had been told to do, and it's important because you never know where that best idea is going to come from, and it generally does not come from one line of thought. That one line of thought may have some good ideas, but other lines of thoughts are going to have other good ideas. And when you meld those together, that's probably going to how you're going to get your best result. And I'm hoping that this president does that.
Talking culture here with Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, looping things back into culture a little bit. We talked about it earlier. There's the possibility or the probability of a new bowling alley going downtown. Talk to us about that. It's exciting.
Trying to keep the young folks in town.
Yeah, my father, who was president of the American Bowling Congress, would be very proud to hear that you thought a bowling alley was a cultural event.
I don't, you know, honestly, I don't think young people, bowling alleys are like this last vestige from the 70s where you can go in and it still smells like cigarette smoke and the machines are from the 50s.
Well, no, I will say the new bowling alleys are a little more hip, and this one's going to be a lot more hip.
Okay.
It's going to be an entertainment center with restaurants, with other amenities, and part of it's going to be a bowling alley. And it's the old what we call the Bourne property, which has been
the Don Bourne property, which has been
laying fallow for a number of years, and between our offices and the Rio Nuevo offices, we did a lot of work so that there were deadlines. I think the deadline for putting the shovel in the ground is the end of this next month, and so we're going to see that go forward, and that'll be a great addition. You know, downtown has been a great success. We have a grocery store. We have a new hotel. We have these venues between the Rialto, which is considered one of the top alternative rock venues in the United States, and the Fox, which is considered one of the top historic venues in the United States. And as long as we're talking about some of those cultural things, I really want to put a plug in for the Jazz Festival, which is coming this January. I mean, we have got, after 3 years, it's almost like the Book Festival and that success, Kamasi Washington, Storm Large from Pink Martini, George Benson, Tower of Power, the free concert on MLK Day, where there'll be any number of bands. Everybody can come downtown, and it's been a great event. We've got President Fox, Vicente Fox, coming at the same time to look at our innovation and entrepreneurship culture, and he's wanting to bring some of his best to Tucson and form that partnership between Startup Tucson, Startup Mexico, a great cultural opportunity. And then, of course, you know, we got the Gym Show, which just keeps getting better year after year. And I guess one of the last things I'd mention, although I could keep going, you know, we got the Arizona Bowl coming up next week with the Air Force Academy. And if we can get a big crowd out to that, and we should be able to, it's just another opportunity to grow Tucson's pie and give us here things that we like to do and want to do.
I hope it's a sunny day on Arizona Bowl Day, because
it was cold last year.
I will say, I was talking to someone who is in the hospitality business here in Tucson, owns a hotel here in town, and he was saying that nationally televised games in Tucson, especially football games, are huge for their business. I didn't even realize or think about this, but when they do that panorama shot from Arizona Stadium over to to the mountains and the golf courses, that people get online during those broadcasts and start booking hotels.
67 and sunny on December 30th for your Arizona Bowl.
Yeah, buy some hospitality stock.
I think that's going to be great. And you know, along those lines, our designation as a UNESCO World City of Gastronomy has had an incredible effect on our community in terms of people wanting to come here. The direct flight to New York, I had no sense. I just saw a report from Visit Tucson. Our tourists, population is up 17% in the past year. A lot of that has to do with that New York flight, Europeans to New York to Tucson. Our flights to Hermosillo and further into Mexico. The easier it is for us to get people here and to see what a really great community this is, the better off we are.
I can speak personally to the diversity that the Rialto Theater brings. I was working downtown during the Marilyn Manson concert, and that was a trip. But I do. We got a nice lady on the phone. She wants to say thank you, Mayor. And Judith has been hanging on. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for listening. How are you, Judith?
I'm well. Good morning, gentlemen, and I want to say thank you, Mayor,
for
your service to our community.
Well, Judith, and thank you, too. I don't know if everybody knows. I suppose it's okay. Judith is Joseph Blair's mother.
I was wondering if that's who that was.
And she has been a wonderful contribution to our community, first bringing her son here, but then working with the transplant community and working with all the charities she can find. And, you know, she's just another one of those people that, Judith, if I could have 10 more of you, it would be that much better of a city.
You know, I called to encourage the listeners to be praying for you and your family through this holiday season. When I used to fly into Tucson from Houston 20 years ago, there was a shining star that welcomed me at McHale with a wide smile and open arms, and it was your mother.
Oh.
And I miss her so much, and I don't know how many know that she passed recently, but I know it'll be transition, but I ask for the community's prayers for you and your family, and a tribute to her. I just loved her. More often than I saw her, I truly miss her, Mayor.
Well, thank you, Judith. I do appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, Judith. That's very beautiful.
Sure.
So Mayor, we did want to ask, what do you like to do? If you have time to actually engage in any of this Tucson culture, you talk a big game about all these things, but what do you take your family out and do?
Well, I mean, I do a lot of these events, which is great. I mean, one of the things that is, you know, believe me, there's a lot of stress in the job, but getting the opportunity to go out into the community and see things that you've never seen before, getting out into these events, and by the way, it doesn't have to be a cultural arts event. It can be anything where a group of 20 or 30 good-hearted people are gathered to try to do good for the community, and it makes it worth it every day. Now, I will say, there are those moments when my favorite thing to do is go home, eat a warm meal, read a book, and watch a basketball game on TV, because you need that balance, you need that family balance.
Well, thank you so much. We're talking culture here on AM 1030. Mayor Rothschild, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, and I would love
you to come back again.
Absolutely.
All right,
you guys are right on where
Tuesday
we need
morning,
to
be. Mayor Rothschild, right after the holiday, is going to be our
new co-host.
No, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, thanks, guys.
Let's take our last commercial break here on Talking Culture. Come back with us.
What's coming up? Am I going to get to defend my title as the smartest
you
Elegrad?
You will have the opportunity to defend your title as the smartest Elegrad in Tucson, Arizona. That's coming up next on Are You Smarter Than an Elegrad? I'm Talking Culture.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, and the 1010ers are ready to celebrate. Join the Vocal Wonder from Down Under for a spectacular night of family favorites. The 1010ers, home for the holidays. The perfect way to celebrate the holidays. The Fox Tucson Theatre, December 27th and 28th. Tickets at foxtucson.com or the box office at 547-3040.
How will you be spending this Christmas Eve? We would love for you to join us at Pantano Christian Church, where we will be hosting a family-friendly service where everyone is invited to participate in our candlelight service with live music, refreshments, and more. Celebrate the birth of our Savior this Christmas at 1, 3, 5, or 7 p.m. at Pantano Christian Church. More information is at pantano.church.
There are times when our systems, the people we elect, those in power, are wrong.
Is it unethical? It certainly doesn't look right.
And for every wrong, there's a way to make it right. That's where News 4 Tucson investigators come in.
Senator, a quick question.
When you need a voice, there's no question we're afraid to ask.
Explain to taxpayers why you think this is okay.
We can handle the truth. News 4 Tucson investigators, investigating for you.
In German, it is Bürstenführer. In Italian, it is Incendio Boschev. In Latin, it is Ignis Dignis. In Spanish, Incendio Forestal. In Iceland, Bursta Elder. In Ireland, it is Squab Fien. Dutch, Breschet Veran. In Pig Latin, it is Rushbe Ayafe. In English, it is Brushfire Barbecue. In any language, the best barbecue around. Two Tucson locations, 22nd and Gold, Campbell and Glen.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday at noon, we meet Pima County's new sheriff, Mark Napier. Our Friday roundtable features Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Charging he hath this day his
mercy. Welcome back to Talking Culture. One more segment, then it's the weekend, then it's the Christmas holiday, then it's the start of Hanukkah, which is tomorrow, as the mayor informed us on. Some familial tension, I think, across the Jewish community this year as Christmas Eve is falling on the Jewish high holiday of Hanukkah. Anyway, so we are talking culture here on a Friday morning. We've got a game to play, and it is a holiday-inspired game. It's our game, Are you smarter than an Eller grad? And so I'll just kick it off with saying these words. Sam, what makes you so darn smart?
Well, Kevin, I went to Eller, the business school, University of Arizona.
Yeah,
heard of it?
I don't know how many times I have to say that you may have gone to business school, my friend, but you did not go to the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh.
That's right, folks. It's our game. Are you smarter than an Eller grad? Thus far, the Eller grads are 2-0-1. There was a tie. It was
controversial, mysterious tie.
Let's change that. Let's let a non-Eller grad, me, beat an Eller grad,
Sam.
Is that
the only way you're going to win is if I let you?
Yeah. Zach, take it away.
Let him win.
So what are the rules?
Same rules. Yeah. I read questions. Your buzzer is your name. You get a second chance if the first person gets it wrong. We've got a Christmas theme today, not particularly skewed towards the Eller grads in any way, I don't think. So let's get started. Sam versus Kevin. Question number one, pulling from the Charlie Brown Christmas specials.
Yes.
When catching snowflakes on his tongue, Linus thinks they need something. What is it?
Kevin? Salt?
Not correct.
Sam? His blanket?
No.
Kevin, cinnamon?
No, closer though.
Sam? Peppermint.
Kevin, sugar.
Kevin got it right.
All right. 1-0.
Good job, Kevin. Question number two, again from Charlie Brown Christmas.
Nice. Jeez. Did you watch that this morning? How did you pull this? It's great.
Watched it. No, I did not watch it. Also, instead of getting a lot of stupid toys, quote unquote, what is it that Lucy wants for Christmas?
Kevin. A football.
No.
Sam. Friends?
I was going to say that. Kevin... a boyfriend.
No, not correct.
Sam? Instead of a bunch of stupid toys, of course, Lucy wants a puppy.
No, unfortunately not.
I give up.
You give up? Yep. This one should have gone to Sam. The answer is real estate.
Interesting.
Why? It's a funny part.
Sam's a real estate agent?
Oh, no. It's businessy. All right, no winner for question two. Question three. How many points does a snowflake traditionally have?
Kevin? 8.
Wrong.
Sam? 6.
6 is correct.
Boosh!
All right, we're 1-1.
Did you know that, Ed? I mean, look at that.
That's
no,
not
okay. I said 8, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Question number 4. This one's a little tricky. Two reindeer are named after weather phenomenon. Which two are they?
7.
I don't know. I think, had it first.
Blitzen and...
Dead air time. Thank you. Buzzed them out. Nobody gets it.
You're half right. Blitzen, Kevin, do you know the other?
I don't know. We just sang the song last night, but we didn't sing the verse.
We did
go Christmas caroling last night. That was really fun, Sam. We went to some different assisted living homes around town and really cherished that time to take some cheer to those oftentimes not cheery places. But what's the answer, Zach?
The answer is Donner and Blitzen. It's two German words. They stand for thunder and lightning.
Donner.
Okay. I'm not in Blitzen.
Hold on, I'm getting a call from the Red Cross here.
No. So half a point for Sam there. Question 5. In which ocean is Christmas Island located?
Kevin.
Sam.
Kevin.
Indian.
Yes.
Wow. I do that.
2 points to 1.5 yes. points here. Kevin's got a tiny lead.
Oh, 1.5? Oh, you're giving him a half point?
Got Blitzen.
Yeah, he got Blitzen.
That's fine.
Question 6. The song White Christmas was first performed in which 1942 film?
Kevin. It's a Wonderful Life.
No.
Sam.
Miracle
on 34th Street?
If you don't know it, you're probably not going to get it now.
What is it?
The answer is Holiday Inn. And this was a full 12 years before the movie White Christmas came out.
Right.
Ed's nodding his head. He's seen it.
Yeah. Seen it.
You remember 1942, Ed?
This is pretty deep cultural. Question 7.
Final question. Right?
Final question. Which country does St. Nicholas originally belong to?
Kevin. Denmark.
No.
Sam.
I would have to go with Finland.
No.
Kevin, the Netherlands. Germany.
No.
Sam, Greenland.
America, Paris.
A little hint, it's the name of a bird.
Kevin. Swan. Swan Road in Tucson.
It's the name of a bird.
I think we're out of time. I think that's it. Sam. And what was the final tally there?
Wait. We got it. It's the name of a bird. It's the...
5 seconds.
The Icelandic. It's not the Icelandic
swan.
The Arctic
turkey. Turkey!
Oh, really bad job by us.
Kevin squeezes by with a half a point win.
That's
Well, there you go.
Hey, our thanks to Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. That was a lot of fun. And for Judith Blair for calling in. And let's second that. Pray for the mayor and his family. They've had a rough go of it as of late. So that was a really beautiful moment on Talking Culture. A reminder to stay tuned for Dennis Prager right after us from 10 to noon. Then it's the Buckmaster Show with Bill Buckmaster at noon. Mike Check with Mike Shaw at 4 o'clock. Have a blessed Christmas, Tucson.
This is Dennis Prager. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cartero, Tucson, The Voice.